Hello, everybody, and welcome to Cinemania World for the first installment of The Cinemummies. My name is Josie. I'm not Dwayne. And I'll be hosting today's episode of Cinemummies, where we're going to be reviewing Love Lies Bleeding by Rose Glass. And today I'm actually joined by my lovely fellow Cinemania World girlies that weren't arrested for indecent exposure at a screening, because we're better than that. So I'm joined by Meg and Amanda. Let's go.
Hey, I'm so excited. This is our first episode, and we have this review right here with the lovely girlies that were in Love Lies Bleeding. So this is very exciting.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I'm so excited to talk about this movie. I literally, like, since I saw it on Saturday, have not stopped thinking about it. I just keep, like, replaying the entire movie start to finish in my head. So I'm really glad we're starting this Cinemommies with this movie.
Absolutely. I think it's the perfect film to start this segment with. And
oh, yeah.
I feel like I jumped the gun, but also I have no regrets. I immediately made it my top movie of the year.
I was thinking about doing that.
Yeah, mostly I was surprised by it. And I since 2019, my favorite movie of the year so far have all been directed by women. So I want to keep it going.
Yes.
So for now, it's my favorite female directed film of the year. But before we get on
awesome. I love Rose Glass. So I've been excited for this movie basically since it was announced, because, I mean, I've loved Kristen Stewart my entire life, it seems. Yeah. So I'm with you. I would definitely put this at number one right now.
Yeah, I'm glad I finally got to experiment with Rose Glass, because I did not see Saint Maud, because religious horror kind of freaks me out. Because that one felt more intense than Immaculate.
I think like last year, and it was wild. Like, I did not know what to expect, and I was so creeped out by like the end. Yeah. I was like, I liked it, then but I also hated it.
I made a good decision.
Surprisingly, I wasn't a fan of Saint Maud, because it got away from it a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, it was definitely out there, like way out there.
I was like, I respect it, but also no, I can't do it.
But actually, before we get into the film, I just want to see, how are you guys? How's everything going?
Good.
It's snowing today.
Yeah.
I live in Michigan, so the weather is like 70 degrees 1 week, and then the other, like the next week, it'll be like 40 or 30 and snowing, so.
Yeah. I mean, we're pretty close, Meg, so.
Yeah, we are.
It's the same weather. Yeah. It's insane. Yeah, I had to literally put my heater on last night, and I was like in shorts maybe 3 days ago, so that was interesting. Yeah.
Same thing happened here in New York, so. I guess it's just, we went through fake spring and now we're back in winter. Mm-hmm.
Fake spring is the best thing to call it, honestly.
But let's get into it. So for people that don't know and are just listening to us for the vibes, Love Lies Bleeding is, again, directed by Rose Glass. It came out this past week, right? Yeah, Friday.
Yep.
Revenge gets ripped. Reclusive gym manager Lou falls hard for Jackie, an ambitious bodybuilder headed through town to Las Vegas in pursuit of her dream. But their love ignites violence, pulling them deep into the web of Lou's criminal family. What can we say? Let's see. Meg, what are your initial thoughts before we dive deeper into the film?
Oh, my initial thoughts. As soon as I saw like the poster for this movie, I just knew that like it was made for me, you know, like I saw the poster and I was like, okay, Katie O'Brien, she's ripped, she's hot, and it's going to have Kristen Stewart. Cool. It's Rose Glass. Awesome. So like I already in my head, I was thinking that it was just going to be like a cool, fun movie to watch. And then when you actually sit down and watch it, I was like, wow, this is like, I feel like such a intimate look into like how, like these two women were so comfortable with each other on screen.
Yeah.
And I feel like this movie is a very, like, a big testament to how important, like, intimacy coordinators are. Because I know that there's, like, so much talk. Yeah, there's, like, so much talk about, like, what do they do? Are they needed? But, like, my initial thought when I was watching this movie was, like, I've never seen Kristen Stewart, like, this comfortable in a role before. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like she was just playing herself. But other than that, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. It was fun. It was sexy. But it also tells, like, this really beautiful story about, like, how powerful, like, queer love is, especially between women, and how, like, serious and deep and emotional it is, and how it can basically get through, like, the worst situations ever. And yeah, I thought the performances were great. The score was so cool. It was so sinister. And the cinematography, I felt like, was very, very unique to, like, it tells, it shows you, like, where they live. It gives them, like, a personality of, like, the town that they live in, very small. And then later you find out, like, when the credits are rolling, that it's in New Mexico. So I was like, oh yeah, totally. I could see that. But yeah, those are just some of my initial thoughts.
I love that you mentioned that, because I definitely felt the comfort radiating off of Kristen Stewart in this film too, and I think it's especially noticeable in the press tour for this film, because I've never seen her so comfortable on red carpets.
I agree. I think that she just I feel like she was free to also be herself and, like, play around with this character. Not that she hasn't in previous films, but I think that comes with also, like, having a safe set. Because you could feel, like, even Katie O'Brien, this is the first time I've seen her too. And I feel like for her to, like, take it to where, like, she wanted to take it, like, she was off the rails here. So you just have to have that safety. And like you said, it's part of, like, even the press tour, she was, like, very, very more so talkative, I think. And that she was so invested in this character that she was just, like, beaming talking about this film. Like, you could tell that she really loved this character, and I really love this character. I think this is the one of the most, like, badass performances that we've seen from Kristen. And I need to see more of the side of her. I really liked her in this.
It kind her of line delivery me. Is so good. Like, there's a scene that sticks out, and it's such a silly scene, but, like, when they're at the Chinese restaurant and Dave Franco's character is having a hard time with the chopsticks, and her, like, the line that she's like, "Do you need a fork?" I busted out laughing. Her, like, the dryness and the seriousness of it, but you know that she's, like, kind of, like, demeaning to him because, like, he's a douche. And I was just like, "Oh, yes, that is so good."
You're so making funny. Me want to go see it again.
I know. I want to go see it again so bad.
But it kind of do you guys remember her in Sethura?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded me, because I think there was a time where she was willing to be more outgoing with her roles. Like, I remember her being so different there from Twilight. And I think, considering the reception from Twilight for a long time, maybe that caused her, like, pull more into her shell. But Spencer with Pablo Larraín, I think, opened up the door for her to actually be comfortable again with
I think she's been through a lot. I'm fully transparent with this. When Twilight was out, I did not like her at all. And I think that was just because I was so young, and many of us were conditioned to, like, not like her for whatever reason. And the same thing happened with me with, like, Jennifer Lawrence. And now I look back and I'm like, I wasted so much time. Because, like, they're both phenomenal, and I love their personalities. I love who they are. And I think that she's finally comfortable enough, even in her, like, sexuality, to have that explored on screen as well, and have these, like, queer roles and fully be represented. I think that's what's so, like, special to her too. And I think we're in a new era of Kristen Stewart. Especially after this one, it feels like not kind of like a reset, but just a different way to explore certain things about her as well.
Yeah, I agree. I've enjoyed her since I remember we had to watch a movie in, I think it was, like, middle school or high school, called Speak, and she's in that movie, and I love that movie. I think she's been acting for such a long time, mm-hmm. that like when you sit back and think about it, like, wow, I've mm-hmm. basically my entire life have been watching Kristen Stewart movies and I didn't even know.
Yeah.
But like even outside of Twilight, like she did the Runaways movie, which mm-hmm. I thought was so really great. Good. Yeah. And it kind of started her like exploration into the roles of like really being like who she is in real life, like her sexuality and stuff, because like you said with Twilight, like, I mean, I'm a Twilight stan. I love Twilight, but you can tell the difference when she's in a role where like she gets to play a queer woman, mm-hmm. and when she has to play straight roles that necessarily she's not comfortable in, or it's not written in a way that she would like. I mean, she talks about Bella quite a bit in this press tour for Love Lies Bleeding, and you can tell that there's like she still has a love for the character, but a lot of it she's like, I don't know why we did this and I don't know why we chose to go this direction. But I'm glad that she's using her huge star power to put out movies like this, especially with newcomers like Katie O'Brien and kind of launching them.
Yeah.
Was there anything you absolutely loved in this movie that you'd like to see more of, Manda?
Oh, wow. I think I'm such a fan of like the neo-noir that I'm always impressed with the new ways and like new concepts that they bring this, the subgenre. I think it's just something that I've been like looking for, because even with The Killer last November, I was like really like happy to have something like that. So I think more thrillers in general that aren't afraid to kind of do something that's off the wall, I think that's what I'm looking for, and more women in thrillers, because I really, yeah, yeah, you know, I get the whole femme fatale, like I love that stuff, don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. But I think just having like a whole like female-led film with like, this genre is something that's so special to me, and this kind of like made me look and see like, you know what, this is what we need more of. We need more thrillers. Yeah. Like we can't just go back and be like, oh, Gone Girl is like the epitome of this. And it's like, but there's can be so much more, you know? So I think that's the main thing for me. I need to see more women in this genre. That's what it is.
Also, having the genre be void of over-sexualization, which I know a lot of people might argue that this movie doesn't do, but I'd like to say the opposite. I yes. think there is something very natural about this film. Mm-hmm. When I was watching it, I felt so comfortable, because I talked about this a while ago with some friends about Poor Things, where most of the time for me, I know when I'm going to go into a film that's going to be exploring sexuality, I feel usually safer with a director if they're a woman or queer,
mm-hmm.
or both.
Yeah.
And with this one, I definitely felt that safety with everything. And again, it goes back to the how comfortable both actresses felt through the screen. Mm-hmm. And just to have normal characters, normal people with situations, and while I mean, Lou's family isn't the most normal, it still felt more approachable and more attainable than, say, like, for example, what's that Charlize Theron movie, Atomic Blonde?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that, which I love. But, like, comparing them, there's still some, like, I can definitely see these people as someone you might meet, like, down the street or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
What I want to see more, especially since like watching this movie, is like I've always been like a very big advocate for like bigger bodies in movies,
mm-hmm.
because like being like a woman that's bigger than the average size myself, like I love movies and I love like seeing just like the amazing performances that any actor or actress can give. But I think that it's sometimes a little bit more difficult for me to connect sometimes when like I don't ever see like a body like mine represented. So I want to see, like, regardless if it's a muscular woman or a curvy woman or any type of woman, I just would like to see from going forward from this movie, movies that have bigger women in general. Especially because when you're watching Love Lies Bleeding, like, it's not like, I know a lot of people, like, we were talking about this, were like saying how like it was like kind of like fetishy, how they were treating like muscular women in this movie. And like, I would say it's definitely the opposite. Like, I think seeing a woman that has a bigger body that feels sexy, like muscular and stuff, is like, it's showing the, an appreciation, especially the way Lou sees her. Lou is just like totally enthralled with mm-hmm. her as soon as she walks in. And it, at no point did I ever feel uncomfortable with like the way that Lou was like in love with her body or like anything that they were doing together. So I would like to see just like more of that. Because I feel like a lot of times, like, people see like a muscular actress and they don't necessarily think she can act, but I thought Katie O'Brien did an amazing job. So yeah, just more big women, please.
It also normalizes it.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least that's how I felt when I was watching it. It felt like we were seeing something that oftentimes, or before, it used to be treated as a joke or exactly. was like a punchline or like, yeah. Mostly in comedy shows, like if a woman was too muscular, like it was used as like the punchline of the joke about how the dude just couldn't because, you know, it messed with his masculinity or whatever. So mm-hmm. I really, that's what I caught on to with this movie, that it deals a lot with like fragile masculinity, especially mm-hmm. when, she beats those two guys up. They're like trying to pick up her up, and then she goes inside with Lou.
That was so fun. I was like, yeah, you do that. Also, there was a lot of cheering. Sorry, there was a lot of cheering throughout this film.
No, it's quiet, like, yeah, go. But we also see that with Dave Franco's character.
Yeah.
Who he's just this kind of like spineless. He's an adult, but he feels like a spineless kid, and he tries to make himself bigger by preying on someone that's quote-unquote weaker. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot here to be said about, again, masculinity, what makes fragile masculinity and toxic masculinity, but also what it actually means to be strong.
Like, as soon as you see him, he's just, like, such a weasel. Like, I got the ick as soon as I saw him, and, like, that hair, it's, like, all greasy and gross. I'm just like, oh, gosh. Because, like, prior to seeing the movie, I didn't really know, like, what his role was going to be. As soon as, like, the first shot of him you see in the movie, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just like, ugh, gross, like, it's just like on his face and he's like moaning and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be nice. And then you see him throughout the movie. And I mean, I love the outcome of what happens to him, because like, I feel like a lot of time in movies where they show like domestic violence, there's never like justice, or it's mm-hmm. just used for like, you know, a character arc of somebody else. So I thought that was nice how like, it got dealt with in the way that like they wanted it to be dealt with. Mm-hmm. He's gross. Same with Ed Harris. I was just like, ugh.
I didn't like his hair in this movie. I'm like,
skullet. I was like, oh my gosh.
But I was also like so obsessed with seeing him on screen. I'm like, but what are you gonna do next, man? Like, I was just
so creepy.
Bugs.
Yeah, oh my god, I forgot about that.
I just didn't understand it. Like, why? It was so gross. It was just so gross. I couldn't.
But I did like, without spoiling, how when Jackie's sexuality is brought up, mm-hmm. We learn that she's bisexual. Yes. And that is not the point of conflict between their characters, which I like that that didn't become a problem. It was mostly about the fact that, you know, the person that she hooked up with, that was the problem, not exactly that she likes both men and women. So I like that we went past that usual trope, because we didn't need that in this film.
Yeah.
No.
I'm always like conscious about it when I see like bisexuality mm-hmm. represented, because it's like, well, how are they going to do it? And then like you said, they did it tastefully, and like, it wasn't the issue, it was the person, like you said. So I'm always worried that they may just throw that like in the other character's face, because she did have like a throwaway line at the beginning mm-hmm. When the relationship started. So I was like, oh, maybe that's going to be a conflict, but they did handle it quite well. So I was happy yeah. about that.
Now, to the other side of the coin, anything you wish you could change or anything that disappointed you about the film? And we can start with Manda.
you know my rating already, and I feel so bad because, like, I want to love this movie. I really yeah. do. But I do think that the way Jackie's character unfolds, it bothered me because there was such potential there to kind of see her backstory and have her grow as a character. But I think that, I guess what happens with her in regards to the bodybuilding, I'm trying not to spoil it. They use it as a crutch at the end of it. And then her character kind of fades away. And I felt like it was in service to like Lou as a character and Lou's backstory and everything that's happening with Lou, more so than Jackie getting like anything more. So that kind of just left a weird taste in my mouth. And then the very end, without spoiling, was just very far-fetched and not in line of what I was watching previously. So I was like, I understood it, especially with Jackie goes through. I get it, but I still feel like Lou's character completely overpowered Jackie by the end of this, and I still don't know enough about Jackie. That was my only thing, is that her character was underdeveloped.
How about you? I would have to say I agree. I gave this movie a 4, so mm-hmm. I still love this movie, but a lot of the development like goes to Lou, which you kind of, I don't know, I kind of assumed maybe it would when like you're watching the movie and it's like, okay, you're only seeing Lou's family and it's like a very Lou-centric movie. But when I was hoping like when like near the end we would learn a little bit more about like who Jackie is. Like we learned a little bit about how like she started bodybuilding because she felt like insecure as a child and like she was made fun of because she was overweight. Mm-hmm. Which was nice. It humanized her because like essentially she's just like this drifter that walks into town, you know, which is it's a cool concept, but I just wish that we could learn more about her, especially at the end where like they're just like traveling together, like a very Thelma and Louise thing.
Yeah.
And also I thought maybe the pacing was a little, like in the beginning, I feel like it was a little slow compared to the end. Like I think this movie, I definitely think this movie could have benefited from like maybe an extra 15 or 20 minutes somewhere in the end, to kind of flesh out like and like close off some of these character arcs, like especially her sister, because like we last see Lou's sister and it's like, you know, they're like arguing or like she like runs away from her or whatever, and then she's just like in that house by herself essentially. Mm-hmm. So I wish we could maybe see a little bit more of like an ending to certain characters, but yeah. Again, I do kind of like the writing, how it leaves some things open, like the ending, like I don't want to spoil it, but like the ending with her father is like, I like how they did that, but it's like, okay, but what happens? But other than that, I just would like to know more about Jackie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely feels like a film that's left up for interpretation for some mm-hmm. aspects, which if you want that closure, then it can feel bothersome. I remember I enjoyed this movie so much. I was riding a high when I left it. But when I read your reaction, Manda, I realized that I completely agreed. Because there's just a lot that we don't get, especially not only with Jackie. Because again, I read your reaction. And I was like, you're right. Because there's that moment where she has that phone call and it felt mm-hmm. like maybe yeah. someone gave them a note and they were like, okay, let's add this to the script.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like a throwaway. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I think that it kind of suffered from not having maybe enough flashbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like it was, even
it was missing more in like Lou's flashbacks that we really, because Jackie at the end of the day is more towards a secondary lead character, kind of like crossing that line a bit, but still we don't get enough about her that we can fully see her as a co-lead.
Yeah, I agree. And even with the flashbacks, I think that also bothered me because that felt repetitive and then we weren't getting enough of what the flashback actually was. So, but hey, I'm happy you guys loved it. I'm not trying to like
No, no, you're good. I agree. Yeah. Especially because with Lou, there's the whole thing with her mom. And towards the end, we get kind of an answer, but the character that gives us that answer isn't entirely trustworthy, so we really don't know what happened with her family. All we know is Dad and Lou don't get along.
Yeah, it's true. That's all we know.
Yeah,
I do think what I like the most about this is that they do play, like Rose Glass does play with the fact of like, you know, you have this like beautiful landscape and like these beautiful starry nights. And then you have these like characters who are like so in love with each other, but then the atmosphere kind of parallels the characters where, you know, there's more than meets the eye with them. And you just see them like descend into like this chaos, into like evil and, you know, killing and all of that. So I think that that was my favorite part, was like, oh cool, like everyone is kind of like happy living their life, but at the same time they're delusional and there's bad things happening around them mentioning. So that was a cool thing.
No, I really enjoyed the surrealism. What did you both think of that? Because at first it was a bit jarring for me, but then since I saw that it was consistent, I was like, okay, it's not just out of nowhere.
I liked it. At first it took a little bit to get used to, especially like with the like the way her body was like transforming sometimes. I like the ending took me out a little bit, but when I like thought on it more, I like it. I wish maybe it had a little bit more of a serious ending, but I thought the body stuff was cool. Body horror is kind of like, it's like a new thing for me, because like it's some like it's very uncomfortable sometimes. But I feel like this isn't done in like a super grotesque way. I don't think it's just very like, you're like, oh okay. Especially like during the bodybuilding contest, I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then it like cuts to like gross stuff and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. I was into it. I was so into it. I think they could have leaned on it a bit more, especially to explore Jackie's condition. I think that's where it fell short for me. Cause like, for me, it's like, you're going to commit to something like that. Then like, let's commit fully and add some more depth to it. But yeah, I like that stuff. And then of course the ending was just departure. But I think that, again, it comes down to the character of Jackie, because if it worked with it a bit more to show that, it would have been okay with me.
Yeah, I mean, I wish it would have maybe touch a little bit more on like body dysmorphia and stuff like that, and like had like a more serious message with it.
Yeah.
Instead of maybe treating it just kind of as like a shock thing. Because like when you do see the end, you're like, okay, is this real, or is this something that they're both seeing, or I don't know. So I wish maybe that there was a little bit more of a serious conversation around body dysmorphia. Because if it would have spoken on that at all, I would have been like, oh yeah, this is a 5 out of 5 for me.
I was hoping they would lean on that too. I think it would have added so much more to Jackie, and then even feeling like maybe feeling more accepted by Lou as well. I think that would have been a good angle. But
yeah, like her transformation is like complete when she like has the love, like the complete love of Lou. But before I forget, there's one thing that I absolutely love about this movie, and it is the costuming. I put it in my review. I dedicated like 2 paragraphs, I feel like, to it. But as someone that, like, I love thrifting and I love, like, preserving, like, older clothes from, like, you know, different generations or decades. The costuming in this movie feels like its own character because it feels so realistic. Like, I feel like if I were to look at pictures of my parents from, like, in the late 80s or early 90s, I'd be like, oh yeah, this is exactly what they wear. Like that red jumpsuit that Lou wears, I'm like, oh my God, it's perfect. And it's not like gimmicky. I feel like a lot of movies that have like a time period, like the 80s or 90s, kind of treat it as like a, like, oh, here's nostalgia for nostalgia's sake. But these clothes felt like worn in and they felt like these are actual clothes that you would see somebody wear. And it just added to like the vibe and the like atmosphere of the movie so well, especially the gym clothes.
I agree. It was cool. They were really cool.
I think my favorite.
I was like, I want this wardrobe. Movie. I don't know whose wardrobe I want more.
Honestly, all of Jackie's outfits, I was like, I love these.
That pink windbreaker, I was like, I have to find one. I have to.
You know what I really loved was the red jumpsuit, even though it was used for very different purposes that I would use it for. But I was very like, oh my God, it's so cute. So I like that. Yeah.
No, my favorite part of the movie was Katie's hair. I love how they styled it.
So I do too, because you see her in real life and she's got like shorter hair. And so like in this movie, I was like, oh my God, like her hair is beautiful in this and it's so flattering.
It fit her
so. And everyone else has like mullets.
Yeah, I love curly hair. I have curly hair. So I was just so enamored. I was like, whoever styled this wig get a raise. So good. But also, I just love Katie O'Brien. My introduction to Katie was Star Wars, and I remember I absolutely loved the episode that she was centered in. So I'm just glad she's employed.
Yeah. Honestly. I felt like leaving this movie, I was like, not that it needs a sequel, but I feel like this is like one of the first A24 movies that I've walked out of that I was like, they could definitely do more with this. Like, I feel like there's like a bigger story that they could tell if they wanted to. It doesn't need it at all. But I feel like if they were to make any of their movies like a trilogy or something, I feel like this one would be a good pick. Ended,
so you never know. Oh, wait. You know what they should do? Pull a Pearl. Give us Jackie's origin.
Yes.
I'm down.
Please.
That's what we need right now. We need to know more. Who was she talking on the phone with?
Yeah, like her body is so impressive. Like, I feel like a lot of times actors or actresses that like get into these like into like really great shape, it's kind of just like normalized these days. But like when you see it on screen, it's just like, I want to know how you did this. Like, I want a movie of like your transformation like seeing your character grow from like how like as a kid into like this amazingly beautiful like woman. But again, yeah, but my gripe with the movie is I just want to see more buff Jackie, but
it'll happen.
I hope so.
Manifest it,
Rose Glass. If you're listening, please make another one.
give us the prequel. But before we go, final thoughts. We can start with you, Amanda.
Yeah. Despite what I've said here, I thought it was a very enjoyable film. I think the character's name was Daisy.
Yes.
And every time she came on screen, I laughed. Oh, I howled.
I love her and Dickinson. I didn't know she was in this. So as soon as I spotted her, I was like, girl, I missed you. Dickinson is over, but I'm glad she's getting a paycheck.
I love that. But yeah, she was so fun. It's a great film. I think it's very interactive. I know I was commenting with what was happening on screen. Yeah. There's plenty of twists. Honestly,
your comments are totally valid. I don't think you're even being harsh. It's valid criticism.
I always feel like I'm being way too harsh I just want everyone to like love the film. You know what I mean? Like, I respect everyone with that stuff. So I'm just like, I'm sorry. But yeah, I think it's a good time. I think if you love thrillers, then you'll appreciate what was done here. Some big swings. that Rose Glass did. And it's a great performance by Kristen Stewart. But when hasn't she given a good performance? You know, she's like 100 for 100 batting right now. So she's great. But it's a good story. I think it's a really good story. And there's a lot to unpack with this film. And it's very layered. And I think people will be able to resonate with certain things being explored in this film.
Absolutely. Meg?
Yeah, I totally agree. I had such a good time with this movie. I definitely want to check it out again before it leaves theaters. I thought all of the performances were just so, they were stellar, especially Jenna Malone as Beth. I feel like she's not getting enough praise, but that character, for the amount of screen time she has such a big impact on the story and also the audience. Kristen Stewart, I don't know what else more I can say about her. I just love her so much. And yeah, Rose Glass, I love St. Maude, love this movie. I will literally be sad for anything she does. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely convinced after this one, though. St. Maude, I'm sorry, Rose Glass, I'll keep avoiding because it scares me.
Yeah.
But I guess for my little Rotten Tomatoes blurb, my final thoughts is that this is honestly a great movie. It's a badass sapphic crime thriller filled with romance, perfect for fans of Thelma and Louise. I absolutely agree with that. I remember I walked out of this and I was like, wait, this is Thelma and Louise if it were overtly gay and they weren't cowards.
Yeah, it definitely is like very true romance mixed with Thelma and Louise. Like if those movies both combined and had like a buff lesbian baby, it would be Love Lies Bleeding.
Also perfect for anyone that loves Titan.
Oh yeah,
I think that movie definitely opened up a space for films like this to exist. So I hope we keep getting more of this genre. And yeah, that's all for the first episode of Cinema Mies. Where can they find you both? We can start with Meg.
You can find me basically anywhere at Wonder Meg. You can read my review for Love Lies Bleeding at Wonder Watchlist. Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to do more of these.
Yeah. Amanda.
Yeah, you guys can always follow me over at AMXNDReviews on Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, and Threads, because that is still a thing. It's still a thing. It's there. I just repost stuff, but it's there. You guys can check out my my website, CandidXCinema.com, and my YouTube, Candid Cinema, my Love Lies Bleeding review. My written review is up right now, and my video review will be up tomorrow. And I'm so happy that we got a chance to do this and break this down with you lovely gems. I'm so happy.
Yeah. I love, like, you both wrote those reviews. Get it. You can find me at the Josie Marie on Twitter, Letterboxd, and Threads as well, if you're into that. You can follow Cinemania World at Cinemania World, basically everywhere. And also remember to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We have a lovely group of people that work very hard to get you really fun little episodes. Sometimes not so little. Sometimes we go on for a while, but they're always good. I promise. But yeah, what else to say other than Love Lies Bleeding is currently in theaters. And despite what you may think, we enjoyed it. The criticism is valid, and we do think you'll enjoy it. And if not, watch it. Form your own opinion. Let us know what you thought. And what else to say other than thank you again for listening to Cinemommies. We hope we have way more episodes of this because it's cool. Muchachos al poder. Ladies, let's go. And yeah, we want to say this. As Katie O'Brien said the other day, keep it in your pants. Enjoy the movie. Bye.